Dear Heavenly Father and Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, we thank you, God. Thank you for bringing Lisa and Johnny and Benji as part of our community these past few years. We have all been blessed to know them and been blessed by them, and we pray and hope that they've been blessed by us as well. And we pray, Lord, for your blessing on them, especially as they prepare to move, and as Lisa follows your calling, may your spirit empower her to continue to serve you and to serve those under her ministry at West End CRC. We pray, Lord, that you would make her a channel of your peace. And so, Lord, help her, as give her wisdom and grace as she leads in the forming of faith in that congregation. And pray for peace as well for Johnny and Benji as they go through a transition, a new place, new home, new school, new friends. Lord, we pray for peace for them, and may your blessing be upon them as well. So we pray, commit all these things to your hands in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.
Our dear God, we praise you that you are forever faithful, forever strong, forever with us. We acknowledge that. We confirm that in our hearts now. We praise you that we belong to you in Christ Jesus, adopted and made joint heirs. We praise you for your Holy Spirit, our comforter, the confirmation of our salvation, your power at work in us. We praise you, Lord. The world seems to get more chaotic day by day, and we lift up the concerns even of this past week. Concerns of nuclear proliferation, concerns of world powers at odds with one another. Troubling events, but Lord, you have assured us that you are our rock in troubled times, and that holding on to you and not to the treaties of power, that is how we will not be shaken. We affirm that now in our hearts. And Lord, we also have trouble in our hearts about our loved ones, some of this congregation, some that we know who are sick. We lift them up before you now. We lift up those friends that we have and relatives and loved ones who need your healing hand upon them. We lift them up to you now. In particular, Lord, we think of Gare's son, Bert, and Joanne's friend, Jamie, who have both received difficult diagnoses recently. Lord, we lift them up before you. We ask for your healing to be upon them. We ask your grace to be upon them so that they could deal courageously with the disease. We ask, Lord, that you would meet all of their needs in Christ Jesus. We pray for Gare, that you would give her courage to be with her son, and Joanne to be with her friend, and that you would strengthen them and help them to be consistent in their love and their priestly service towards their loved ones. Lord, I praise you for this congregation, and it's more than 66 years in this place. I thank you for it. And I thank you more recently for placing it into their hearts and imaginations to share your love with this neighborhood and to get to know and be known by this neighborhood for your glory. And I praise you for the responses we have seen so far from our efforts, and that you are blessing the work of our hands. I praise you that your plans for us are good. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would go before us into this neighborhood, that we would be able to follow you day by day. We ask that you would give us success, whether it be for our work on Sunday mornings and worshiping you, for the youth classes and activities that continue on Sundays and through the week, for the coffee break ministry, for our work at St. James Food Basket, for the seniors' lunches and the TOTS program. Lord, we ask for all these things that you would give us success. We ask for new initiatives that we start this week. We're excited about, Lord, the opportunity we have on Thursday night this week to have a seminar to address the need of loneliness in this community. We pray, Lord, that you would give us success. We pray that you would bring people that, yes, are lonely, and other people who want to meet the needs of lonely people. We pray, Lord, that you would launch new ways for us to help lonely people to not be lonely anymore, but to find fellowship in you. We pray for a new initiative at Silverthorne Collegiate this week with the international students, as the school has asked us to do this. And after waiting a long time, Lord, we ask that you would bring students this week curious about this program, and that you would help us to meet their needs. Lord, we thank you for all that will happen this week, and we pray that we would be able to extend your fellowship, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and the love of Jesus, into new friends and neighbors this week that you will bring to us. And we ask now that we could do all in your name and give you glory for everything. And Lord, we thank you for Leslie for coming, and we pray that you would give her words to speak, to build up faith in our hearts, individually and collectively as a congregation. We pray that, Lord, you would use this series to see faith built up in this place, and that we could all be stronger and more equipped in praising your name and in serving you. So now we pray as you, Lord, taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
So good to be with you all. We are being invited into something different for the next few weeks. And for some of us, that's exciting. For others of us, getting pencils at the door is a little disruptive, and we wonder what is going on. We don't normally do this. So I just want to be honest with you from the get-go that things are going to be a little bit different for the next couple of weeks. And sometimes we may feel, oh, this isn't how we normally do things. And I want to give us all permission to say that that's okay, that this isn't a forever thing. And I also, we notice that some of our younger members of the congregation, our younger brothers and sisters, are staying with us today rather than going out to Sunday school and to their classes. And in order to do that, we have printed up our scripture on a piece of paper. Why? Because we're using the NIRV, the New International Reader's Version. Why? Because it's written in about a sixth grade level, and we want to make sure that our youngest of friends are able to follow the scripture with us, right? And here's the beauty of this. This is why I love this, is that when one part of the body is seen to and taken care of, not only do they benefit, but who else benefits? We all do. So this is a great day for all of us. Why did you get pencils this morning? Because normally it would be, people would look at you funny if you took the pew Bible out and you started writing in that Bible, right? Our DNA is not to carry Bibles to church, but I want us to really interact with the scripture today. So hopefully each of you got a couple of colored pencils and you can pull out the hymnal or whatever, and I want you to interact with the scripture this morning. I want you to see these next 4 weeks or so as an invitation to engage with each other in different ways, more intergenerationally, and to engage with scripture in different ways. So we're going to be talking about belonging today, belonging to God, belonging to each other, and belonging to each other and God because of the work Christ has done. So I want to encourage you, as we're listening to scripture this morning or looking at the Heidelberg Catechism, which is on the other side, to circle words that help you think about what does it mean to belong? And maybe write notes in the scripture. Where do you have questions? Where do you wonder about things? What of those words jumps out to you and says, yes, Lord, this is what was meant for me today? And maybe some of you will need to doodle, because I know I have a daughter who's an artist, and she could never take notes. She said, Mom, I can't do that, but I can draw pictures of what I'm hearing. So I want to give you permission to do that too. If you're more visual and you'd like, as you're hearing things about belonging, you can draw little pictures on this piece of paper. We're being invited into a time together and a time with God to experience it in a different way. Is it a forever thing? I don't know. But at least for the next few weeks, we are being invited to try something a little bit different and to be able to respond differently, which at the end of our time together, we're going to be able to be in small groups to talk about what it is that we've heard today. We've never done that before. We're only asking that as a community that we try it to see if maybe that's one way for Scripture and for what we've heard this morning can take deeper root with each other, and that we can be encouraged by what our brothers and sisters have heard in worship and in the Scripture this morning. So let's take a moment to transition, and let's pray over our time together that we will have new insights into God's Word this morning. Heavenly Father, we've already seen examples of what it means to belong to you and to each other this morning. You are so faithful. We couldn't orchestrate half of the ways that we've already experienced belonging. And we know it's because you're reaching out to us to be able to experience it in a very real way, to be reminded that we belong to you. Father, we ask that you would open our eyes to your word this morning, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be pleasing and acceptable to you. We thank you, God, for being a God that wants to reveal himself to us and to feed us with your word. And we trust already that that is the case for each of us today. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the scripture that we want to look at this morning is from Genesis chapter 1, and Genesis, a few verses from Genesis chapter 2, and then John 3, 16 through 18. Then God said, "Let us make human beings so that they are like us. Let them rule over the fish in the seas and the birds in the sky. Let them rule over the livestock and all the wild animals. Let them rule over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created human beings in his own likeness. He created them to be like himself. He created them as male and female. God blessed them. He said to them, "Have children so that there will be many of you. Fill the earth and bring it under your control. Rule over the fish of the seas and the birds in the sky. Rule over every living creature that moves along the ground." And God saw everything he had made, and it was very good. There was evening, there was morning, it was day 6. And then from Genesis 2, the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him." The Lord God had formed all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He had made all of them out of the ground. He brought them to the man to see what names he would give them. And the name of the man, which each living creature became its name, so that the man gave names to all the livestock, all the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But Adam didn't find a helper that was right for him. So the Lord God caused him to fall into a deep sleep. While the man was sleeping, the Lord God took out one of the man's ribs. Then the Lord God closed the opening in the man's side. Then the Lord God made a woman. He made her from a rib he had taken out of the man. And the Lord God brought her to the man. And the man said, "Her bones have come from my bones. Her body has come from my body. She will be named woman because she was taken out of a man." And then John 3, 16 through 18. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Anyone who believes in him will not die, but will have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world. He sent his Son to save the world through him. Anyone who believes in him is not judged, but anyone who does not believe is judged already. They have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the word of the Lord. So as I was preparing for this message, I was reminded of when my children were little. And I don't know if some of you remember either nieces, nephews, your own children, grandchildren, people in your life that were, you know, in the 3 years to 4-year-old stage. But the questions they ask could drive you over the edge, right? They just want to know everything. They're little sponges. And most of those questions are, why? Why? Why is it this way? They're such learners. They want to know how things fit together. Why do we have one big toe, Mom, and four little toes? Why, Mom, when I'm sad, do I cry, but when I'm happy, I laugh? Why, Mom, is it so hard to get along with my sister? Why is she so mean to me? Why, Mom? Well, Genesis is one of those books in the Bible that answers a lot of why questions. Why is there marriage? Why are there birds in the sky and fish in the sea? It answers a lot of why questions, but most importantly, it answers a who question. The most important question is at the beginning of that book. In the beginning, God. Who created this place that we live in? Who takes care of this place that we live in? Who are we related to and why? If you want to understand how it is that we tick, what makes us who we are, and how we interact with each other in the world, Genesis is a good place to start. If you want to understand what it means to be human, it's the only place really to start. Because we're reminded that if we want to understand ourselves as creatures, we need to understand our Creator. We need to know how we were made. Now, we don't probably think that way very often because we're so used to new things coming down the pike and we just trust that they work, right? So for Christmas, I got John. Really, his name is Tom. I'm married to him. I know him well. Please do not share that. I do not know where that came from. Tom, my husband, I got Tom one of those Google Assist things, you know, where you, hey, Google, tell us the temperature. Hey, Google. But the funniest thing about our hey, Google thing is that you have to know how to ask the right question. Or it will go, I'm sorry, I'm not programmed to tell you that. And we'll just laugh and laugh trying to figure out how to ask the question. And the reason it's so challenging for us is we didn't make the program. We don't understand what the algorithm is or what the program is to make Google give us the information we want. And the funniest thing was is that Tom was really nervous the first time he talked to it. We plugged it in and we're there with Allie and Anna. And he goes, hey, Google, what time it is? Right? Like he didn't even know how to, he was just so off. Who talks to this little plastic box? But if you want to understand how Hey Google works, you got to find the programmers and you got to find the person who invented this technology. The creator understands how it works. I'm a real Dyson vacuum fan. I don't know how it works, but I've never seen so much dirt in the vacuum cleaner ever. I love that thing. How it works, I don't care, but when it falls apart, yeah, you can go to a repair person, but sometimes they don't even know all the ins and outs. If you really wanted it to work at its top, who would you go talk to? Mr. Dyson, because he understands the intricacies of that whole thing. If we want to understand how it is that we tick, how it is that we interact with the world, our place in the world, Genesis is telling us you need to go to God. He's your creator. He knows you. He breathed life into you. You need to understand not only who the creator is in order to understand your own self, but you need to understand the relationship between God and his human beings, the ones he has loved. And I think if we ask the question, why is it that we so much struggle against God, push back against God? Why are so many people in our lives kind of wanting God at a distance and yet like a two-year-old? Do you also remember this time when your two-year-old would run away, check that you were there, come back, maybe touch you, and then go away again? Why is it we have this kind of love-hate relationship with God? We want him, but sometimes we want to push him away so far. Genesis says, and the whole Bible says, let me tell you what's happened in your relationship with God and why sometimes you feel such incredible loneliness that it's only God that can fill that loneliness, that you feel so disconnected that it's only in being in relationship with the people that know God that you can finally go, I'm home. Today, if you hear nothing else, I want to tell you that through God's word, we are reminded that we were created to belong. It's a part of our DNA. We weren't created to be on our own. We were created to be in a relationship with Him. And because of that, we were created, because we're all created that way, we share the same heart, the same longing. We're created to be in relationship with each other. I love this passage because it reminds me of God inviting us into community with Him. God says, let us, this holy community, this holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us invite someone into community with us. Let us have this human being be in relationship with us. And so we're reminded of that, of Adam and Eve walking in the garden with God. That seems so other to me. It seems so impossible. And yet that's what the picture of belonging was at the beginning of the story. We are wired to be in relationship with God. So when we find the folks around us struggling and pushing back against God, one of the words of hope and comfort can be inviting back in and saying, let me tell you about this God who loves you and wants to be in relationship, who wants to be your friend, who wants to be your friend in the greatest imagination of friendship, not that friendship on Facebook, for instance. I just realized I think somebody unfriended me. And I don't know how, there's an app for that. You should know that. I don't have the app, but I realized I haven't heard from so-and-so in a long time. And then I had to step back and say, did they unfriend me or did I unfollow them? Friendship can be so willy-nilly in our world right now. So that's not the word friend that I'm talking about. I'm talking about that deep relational connection that God wants to have with us. And through that deep relational connection, we learn how to be that and experience that with each other. We are created to belong to God. And in that, we're also created to be in relationship with each other. It is not good for human beings to be alone. We weren't made for it. Now I know many of us have a variety of, or a continuum of capacity in being in relationship. My husband is a functional, he needs a lot of space to himself. But he can be out there with people, but he needs time to reconnect. I, on the other hand, would rather have a party at all times. I love being with people. We need to learn from each other that there's different capacities, but there is no one that was created to be by themselves. There's no baby that was born that said, I'm on my own, I don't need you, Mom. We're from the time that we are born, we learn how to bond and to be in relationship with each other. That's why those first few months, those first few years are so, so important to children. The more they learn about belonging in their family, to their parents, to their caregivers, the more they're able to experience that and extend that elsewhere. It is not good for human beings to be alone. And here's the grace in this story. This was an aha moment. Maybe you've had this moment before. But God loves this human being, these human beings, so much that He realizes, as much as I want to be in relationship with this first human, we're so totally different. God is God. God is holy. God is other. God is not created, and this first human being is created. As much as they can share a bond and a friendship, it will never be apples to apples because God is so other. And out of His grace and His goodness and His love, He says, oh, in many ways, this beloved human being is alone. As much as he has me, he's alone. He has no one like him. And so God says, well, let's bring the animals in and see if any of those could be a helper, could be a strong companion to this first human being. That's grace. That's love. God knows that this human being needs someone like him in order to experience a different kind of friendship, creature to creature. So all of these animals come, and Adam names each of these animals. And as much as Adam probably enjoyed being with all those animals and had good, I'm a dog lover. I love dogs. But dogs cannot do everything that my children and my husband and my sisters and my friends can do. They're dogs. They're not the same as me. They're something different. And that's exactly what God sees. Those animals can give a lot of relational capacity to Adam, but it's not the same, just as he can't have the same kind of relationship with God, because God is other. So God makes someone else like Adam. We have each other. We are created in order to bless each other, to be able to experience love creature to creature, person to person. That's profound. None of us were created to be alone. And in this realization, one of the things that comes to mind for me is that we all have the basic spiritual need to belong to God and to each other. Everyone has it, whether we're 3 years old, 13 years old, 93 years old. Whether we recognize that need to belong and we are people of the Word, or whether we're living out of that longing to belong. Why is there, I just thought, you couldn't have planned a better week to start your loneliness investigation. The world is lonely. The world around us is filled with people who say, I don't know where I belong. I'm estranged perhaps from my family. I feel estranged from the people around me. I'm so lonely. You know, one of the big aha moments for Tom and I, once our children were away and we were empty nesters and we moved to Canada, was people our age didn't need us for friends. They already had their friends. We came here and we were very needy for friends. Don't feel bad for us. We're working through it. But really, it is very hard for 50-somethings to find new friendship groups, especially when people already have their families up here that they're involved with. Our kids are away. Have the friends that they've been with for, you know, 10, 20, 30 years. Loneliness is a very real thing. And we had to realize that even though Tom and I have been married almost 30 years, we can't be everything for each other. We need to have friends. So sometimes, you know, we'll push each other. You go and have coffee with so-and-so. It'll be good for you. Right? We need each other. We need to be in relationship. So the church talking about loneliness, amen. That's exactly what we should be talking about, because we know the truth. That people need to recognize and live into the fact that the truth that they belong to God and they belong to other people. We need to, as church, bring grace and recognize the same thing that God did in this story, that we can be that conduit of belonging, that bridge, so that people can experience what they were created to experience, belonging themselves. But here's the thing, and we're going to talk more about this next week. We're moved from a reality where Adam and Eve walked in the garden with God, and then there was a broken relationship. And that broken relationship with God not only affected their relationship with God, it affected their relationship with each other. Isn't it amazing, if you read more of Genesis, that the first thing that this early couple did was blame each other when they were out of sorts with God? It's the woman you gave me. It's, right? We need those two things together. Our best relationships are relationships that acknowledge both our connection to our Creator and our connection to each other. Those are where healthy relationships begin and where we flourish. Here's the truth. Whether the world around us acknowledges it or not, and whether we sometimes always acknowledge it, God wants to be in relationship with us. He wants to be in relationship with us, just like when he said, those animals are not enough for Adam. I'm going to find someone just like him. That truth is true yet today. And when we had a falling out with God, when that brokenness happened between our friendship with God and our friendship with each other, God went to great lengths, John 3 says, to bring us back home to him. He sent his son to be the bridge so that we could be friends with God again. And because of Jesus, and because of the Holy Spirit working with each other through us, we can be good friends to each other again. We need Jesus. We cannot be whole without being in relationship with God and each other. So why is it important for us to spend time on this today? Why is it one building block of faith? Because on the other side of this, we know that when we're lonely, when we feel disconnected, there's only one answer. The answer is Jesus. The answer is Jesus. And we know that. And that can be our leading edge as we invite people into fellowship with us. We don't need to change their behavior. We don't need to make sure their theology is all lined up with us. God can take care of us. He's got that. What he really needs for us to do is to reach out and say, you belong. We would love to have you in our fellowship. We would love to have you come to this loneliness seminar. We would love to have you join our fill in the blank. Our leading edge as Christ followers is to extend that hand of belonging because we know we're wired for it and we know we live in a very lonely world, a world that's very estranged from God. So that's one reason we're talking about belonging today. Another reason we're talking about belonging today is because sometimes we don't always feel like we belong to God or we belong to this place. We go through times where, we're just, feel disconnected. And here's the truth of the matter. God is continuing to reach out to us even if we don't feel like we have the energy to reach back to him. That's what John 3:16 says. He loves us so much that he sent his son. He loves us so much that he will do the reaching even when we don't feel like we can reach back. That's the truth. We are created to belong, and God will do anything and everything to pull us back towards him. And he did that in Jesus. On the back of our scripture this morning, I have the Heidelberg Catechism printed. For many of us, that first question and answer, that's at the core of who we are and our understanding. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but I belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what belonging looks like. That's how deep that belonging is. And we should ask ourselves, why at the beginning of the catechism would they lead with the word comfort? That's an odd word. But at the time that the catechism was written, many people in the church were being told, maybe you belong, maybe you don't belong. Maybe you're in, maybe you're not in. The church was using that need to belong against the people. And so they would sell indulgences. If you just paid a little bit more to the church, then you would know you were in and Jesus loved you. Because Jesus at that time was Jesus the judge, Jesus the finger pointer. That's how the church used Jesus and the word to kind of control people. That's history. That's how it was. And the catechism writers said, wait a minute, that's not the beginning. The beginning is God saying, you belong to me in life and in death, and you can hang on to that truth. When all else fails, just as Romans says, nothing can separate you from the love of God. That's what belonging means. Nothing. Even when we go through difficult times, times that are trying, times that are vexing, nothing can separate us from God's love. That's how strong it is. And when we most need it, we need to hear those words. I am not my own. I belong. I belong. We belong. I hope when you have an opportunity later to just share what that means to you, that you allow the Holy Spirit to, fill the conversation with what does it mean that we belong to God through Christ. And how does that strengthen us so that we can be that bridge of belonging to a lonely, lonely world? Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for your grace and your love, which is so, so apparent in the work of your Son, Jesus. When we are lonely, we pray that this community will draw us in when like speaks to like, so that when it's hard to understand how a holy God would love us and want to be a friend of us, we can begin to experience it in community. And God, when we encounter lonely people, people who need to know that they belong to you, people who need to know that you know their names, help us to be free in sharing those stories, free to be a bridge, free to be invitational, free to say, I know where you can belong. May we be grace wherever you place us. For the sake of your kingdom and your name, amen.